you today here for a few minutes. Today's message I titled Coming Back. That's the title, Coming Back. And it centers around the question, is Jesus really returning to the earth? You hear about that. It's been a long time. But we know from Scripture, we know this to be true. Jesus will return the same way that he left us. So we want to talk a little bit about that today. Now, the text we're going to use today is going to challenge us in two basic areas. We'll get challenged in two areas. Number one, Jesus coming back. We're going to hear some parables that talk about readiness and being ready. But that's number one challenge. And number two, the challenge we'll kind of end on is us going to Jesus, us being in front of him at some point. So those are the kind of two challenges today. And this is at least when we're in Matthew today, this is a red letter message. So if you've got a red letter Bible, the words of Jesus are in red. It's all red today. So great. I love those messages. It's all red. We're going to jump outside of Matthew a little bit, but these are all the words of our Lord and Savior. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 24 with a few verses. Let's put up Matthew 24, verses 36 through 41. Jesus says, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. So Jesus is talking about that day or hour, but this particular detail about the time belongs only to the Father. So we see the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but they have different roles. So it's hard, but not so hard to understand. They just have different roles, but this detail belongs to the Father. But we've all seen the predictors, right? Here comes the end of the world. It's going to happen on this day, this day, this day, and it's going to happen. If you've lived long enough, you've seen a handful of those, and sometimes they'll go up on the top of a building and wait for whatever, but they're batting zero. It hasn't happened yet. Jesus hasn't come back in the world. Has not come to an end. But it's interesting, a lot of times people will criticize the Old Testament or that story about Noah, just a fantasy, right? Just a fantasy. Well, here, Jesus starts referring to history. So that's why it all comes down to Jesus. If Jesus is who he said he is, and he talks about Noah, wouldn't that have a chance, at least a chance to be true? I certainly think so. But Jesus drew on history with Noah. He said, in the days of Noah, Noah gave him two chances. He gave him his testimony. So in Noah's day, the people were really in bad shape, sinning and turning away from God. And Noah was pleading with them, turn away from your sin. Turn around. And the second thing Noah did was he did it by his action. He's building an ark. And so these people had two things from Noah, and they had 100 years. They had 100 years to try to turn back. And it didn't happen. But in this passage, it's just jobs from their world, right? It's an average job on an average citizen. Two men are in the field, two women on a handmill. But the point is it's sudden and it's unpredictable. So then Jesus continues on with a brief parable. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 44. He says, therefore, keep watch. Because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, and he would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. So a very brief parable here by Jesus, very brief, but says we're about the point where owners of a house and we're going to get robbed. And there's two things we don't know. We don't know the time, and we don't even know that we're what jumps out at us at this portion of Scripture when it says, on what day your Lord will come. Your Lord. We don't belong to ourselves. We have a master. We have a creator. We are not our own. And as Christians, we have to embrace that. We're going to have a master and a creator who will call us to account. At some point, he will call us to account. Now, the question is, on that day, will we get taken by surprise? Well, God is not deceptive. And especially as Christians, it's all there for us to see. You know, we know from Romans 1, it should be plain just by the creation, just by the utter magnitude and complexity of creation. It should be obvious to us there's a God and creator. But also we have the Word of God. And we've had it for a long time. If we jump out of Matthew and we look at a couple verses here, let's look at 1 Peter 5 through 8. This kind of hits our theme of readiness today. So here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 5 through 8. He says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So Peter jumps in too and says, hey, this, the spiritual battle's on too, right? It's on. You've got to be aware. And then if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. Here's what Paul says. He says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. So that backs up what Jesus is saying about being ready. Now, Jesus follows it up here with a second parable. He does kind of one parable after another. We're not going to have time to hit them all today, but we're going to try to hit what we can. So now we look at Matthew chapter 24, 45 through 51. Jesus says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It'll be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he's not aware of, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus is hammering on this theme of readiness, and Matthew's including all these in his book. But this particular parable deals with relationships. So now we've got a servant who needs to give the others, what we can find out, he needs to give the other servants their food and take care of them. He has a job, but the master stays away a long time. But he didn't get it done. He decided to take another route. He decided to make some really poor decisions. And so can we, right? I mean, we can crack open the door to sin a little bit, right? We're like, well, I've been staying away from this, but the door cracks open a little bit, and I kind of just eat through there. And then the next door, and then the next door, and then pretty soon it's like, okay, now we got to stop, we got to repent, we got to turn around, we got to come back. But it happens kind of subtly, right? You just kind of fall in a trap. But sometimes we can say, another example, I'll get it together in time. I got a lot of time, right? I'll get it together. Well, there's two problems with that. We don't know the extent of the time that we do have. We don't know that. You know, when my career slows down or my job gets less busy or our family schedule slows down, then I'll have more time for serving the church. I can give more money. I can go to church more. I can do all these things when I reach that point. But whether that happens or not is not the point. When we say something like that, we're saying, this is what's first. Not that those things aren't important, like family and job and career, but we're saying, this is what's first in my life. This is it. We can be busy, and we can still make time for the Lord. And like Mary just prayed up here, it's less work to stay the course. You know, we get going the wrong direction. It can be difficult to turn it around. It's less work to get up and to read our Bibles and to pray to the Lord. It's a lot less work to stay as we move into to Matthew chapter 25, this will be our second chapter we're taking some text from today. So let's start in Matthew 25, and let's look at verses 14 through 18. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now here we get some more practical direction from Jesus. Now we're going to get some stuff we can kind of, you know, sink our teeth into a little bit. Our faith is going to equal some type of action or result. And this parable clearly is about the kingdom of God. A man, Jesus, goes on a long journey and entrusts his servant with his valuables. He gives them bags of gold. And for us, we've got to remember, you know, each according to his ability, 5, 2, 1. Every one of us has some bags. We got 1, maybe we got 2, maybe we got 5, maybe the Lord has given us more. Everybody in here has some bags that they've been entrusted with. God is placing in our hands what is his. Just like we kind of started the message, we are not our own. That we have a Lord. So God's given us something that's his, just like this parable. But we can be assured that we're not going to be given what we can't handle. He's not going to give us what we can't handle. He might give us some challenges and say, Lord, I don't know if I can handle all this, but he's not. He knows. He created us. He knows what we can handle. 2, our potential is the issue. 5, 2, or 1, do what he can. What are some examples of things that are in our bag? It's time. We make decisions every day on time. So if we just think back to the last 2 weeks on the decisions we've made with time, how many minutes of those last 2 weeks have been devoted to the Lord? Could have been prayer, could have been ministering to others, could have been reading scripture, could have been a variety of things. Rhetorical question you have to ask yourself. It's talents. If the Lord's going to give us a bag, he knows what our talents are. We think about here at Stone Ridge throughout the year, the music every Sunday. Talented people create an atmosphere that we can worship the Lord. We think about the teachers in the classrooms all year long. Not only now, but you know, the midweek teachers that have put all their time in, they're serving and creating an environment for people to accept Jesus. But one of the things that you may not think about that's in your bag, because you may think, well, like, go off, I can't do anything anymore. I'm not capable. But one of the things is attitude. You know, I know there are people here at Stone Ridge that are maybe facing a loss. You know, they're maybe ill or have some other challenges. But the attitude that they display is a powerful witness. Powerful. Powerful witness. And they may not even realize that. It doesn't mean that they're not disappointed. It doesn't mean maybe at times they're a little angry with God. But when you talk to them, you know who they're following. Even in despite of the struggles, you know they're following the Lord. And that's something in their bag. It's their attitude. It's their attitude that they're showing to us. And yes, things aren't going very well, but I'm following Jesus. I'm going to trust in his plan for my life, even though this week may be very tough. And so I think that's something that we just forget. Our attitude is a powerful, powerful witness. So this parable, 2 of them doubled their money. 5, 10, 2, 4. They probably had to take some risks. They probably had to make some investments, but they doubled their money. The one bagger, no impact. Went out, dug a hole, buried it. Clearly, because Jesus says according to ability, clearly the person with one bag maybe has some limitations, but they didn't use it. They took their bag of gold and they buried it. So let's move on to what Jesus has to say here. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 19 to 22. Let's continue on with this parable. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So here we get this long time. We get almost in everything we're looking at today. It's a long time. Just as we're looking since Jesus left us until now. But they get the same response. Why? They get the 5 and the 2, they get the same exact response from the master. Well, I think the easy answer is they both reached their potential. They both did a really, really good job. They get verbal praise and promise of more. And that could be the same thing with our life. Maybe God is going to give us a little something. Hey, I want you to do this. And then we accomplish it with the help of God and the Spirit of God. Accomplish it. And maybe he says, okay, I'm going to give you something more. And more and more and more. So we can tie a line there to us as well. But the thing that really jumps out at us here is Jesus is trying to get the point there's going to be an accounting for us. That someday there's going to be the settling of accounts. Now the question is, who's when? There may be some things that we do that are very important and even help people. And other people look at us very favorably because we do these things. But the question is, what value does it have in the eyes of God? If when we get to Him face to face, and we may think, well, I'm bringing these things, well, it may not hold the same value in the eyes of God. We at least have to ask that question. Whatever our calling is, Peter does a good job here. If we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, here's what Peter says. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as we finish with this parable in Matthew, let's look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 through 30. Then a man had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put the money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here we come to the 1 bag. The 1 bag guy. Clearly he feared his master. He was driven by fear. But the thing that kind of jumps at us is like Jesus used the word wicked. Wicked and lazy. So clearly by using that language and coming at us like that, God wants his kingdom moving forward. And if we have things in our bag, we need to use them. And if it's demanding, well, you can't say, well, my master is too demanding. That should have motivated him even more. He should have went after it and invested even more. And for Christians, can we just bide our time? Let's say I've got my Christian identification card, just like my license. I pull it out. I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for my sins, and he rose on the 3rd day. I have followed Jesus, the command to be baptized. I take part in communion. Here's my card. I'm a Christian. But are we a lukewarm Christian? Are we kind of not take a look at that on your own sometime. Revelation chapter 3. If you look at Revelation 3, this won't be on the screen. Revelation 3, 15 through 16. Here's how he feels about lukewarm. And he's talking to the church at Laodicea. Here's what he says. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So that's pretty harsh words. Not hot, not cold, just kind of in the middle. But we may have that Christian card, and all those things are vitally important. Vitally important. Some of our commands. But we may have that Christian identification, but are we using our abilities? Going back to that parable, are we using the things in our bag? Are we just like, well, I'm waiting for heaven. I'm not going to really do much. I believe, and this is in my card. These messages today throw a lot of cold water on that kind of thinking. Big time cold water. That if we're just like, well, I'm kind of what's called easy believism. It's not going to work according to Jesus. Now, as we come down the stretch here, this is the last part of text we'll look at. This is going to change direction now. So now we've talked about readiness. We've talked about be ready. But the bottom line is this. It's been 2,000 years. It's been a long time. Do we believe that Jesus is coming back? Absolutely. The Word of God says so. I believe it 100%. But it hasn't happened yet. And I look at the math back to me, it's 0%. The day that seems to be coming faster is when we go to Jesus. That's the day that seems to be coming faster. I don't want to say that I know when Jesus is coming back. It could happen next week. But the day that seems to be coming faster is when we go to Him. So this last part hits us. This hits us because this is more imminent. At least it seems to be more imminent. And in this sheep and the goats, we're going to get a glimpse of the final judgment. So let's put up, as we come down the stretch here with our last portion, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 33. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. So in this first little part of Scripture, it's in full view of everybody. Jesus is King. Jesus is King of all. All the nations will be gathered around Him. And this is a judgment scene. But it's interesting that Jesus chose to use sheep and goats. That was His decision. But you can kind of just envision the scene. The shepherd is sitting atop the fence. The sheep and the goats were together during the day, but at night they come down a long chute. And here's the shepherd moving the gate back to the left, back to the right, back to the left. Sheep go to the right, goats go to the left. So you kind of get, Jesus is giving us that imagery where they're all coming down the chute and they're going one way or going the other. There's no middle road. It's right or left. But from here on, there's no more sheep or goats. What Jesus says is that there's those on my right and those on my left. But He initially uses sheep and goats. In Matthew chapter 25, 34 through 40, Jesus says, then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The King will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So there's six needy conditions here. I'll just pick one, stranger. Talks about it, inviting in a stranger. And for us, as followers of Christ and as Christians, that could be somebody who's not in the in crowd, a stranger, somebody who just maybe neglected by society. We are called to reach out to them. We are called to befriend them. So we don't want to be thinking that that's not our job. We want to befriend every stranger. everyday loving Christian. But one area is just more clearly emphasized than any other. When we're talking about Jesus coming back, Jesus' return, it's just over and over and over, and that's this question. How do we care for others? It's just over and over and over. So this last portion of the text is this, Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46. Jesus says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, you didn't clothe me. I was sick, in prison, and you did not look after me.' They also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and didn't help you?' He will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." So here, sadly, Jesus turns to the left. And the opposite of heaven is separation from God. And we learn here in this text that the devil was, the hell was originally created for the devil and his angels. But they were shocked. They're like, when did we see you? But here we see when they and we are not doing these things, it's the same as not doing them for Jesus. So in conclusion, if I was listening to this message, and maybe I came, I could say, well, you're just talking about works today. You're talking about a lot of things that are just works. Even though Jesus said them, you're talking about works. You're one of those churches that talks a lot about what I do and works. You're not talking about grace. Well, the Bible clearly and repeatedly teaches that salvation is by faith, through the grace of God, and not by our good works. What Jesus is trying to do here, all these good works mentioned in these parables are not the cause of salvation. They don't cause us to be saved. They're simply the effect. They're the effect of salvation. We are the follower of Christ. These are the things that we're going to do. And especially in this last parable, the sheep and goats, good works will just result from our relationship to the shepherd, to Jesus. Followers of Christ will treat others with kindness, looking at them the same way that it would be as if we're serving Jesus. Exactly what the parable teaches today. And certainly, goats can perform acts of kindness. Those on his left, we see it all the time. But for those who Jesus called goats, we'd have to say, is their heart right with God? And what have you done with Jesus of Nazareth? Have you accepted him as the payment for your sin? Because everybody, both sides, will do good. So our challenge is this. We're believers in Christ. We follow him. But as we head into this week, are we moved by the Holy Spirit to do some of these things that Jesus said? In this last parable, he gives us six things. Can we think of things in our lives that we can jump in this week to help somebody else? Because we know from the message today that these are vitally, vitally important to Jesus. Amen. If we could end in prayer. Lord, thank you for bringing us together today here on this 4th of July weekend. If there are people traveling here today, we pray that you be with them, that they travel safely home from their destination, and that you would look out for them. As we reflect on the message today, Lord, be with us this week. Let us reflect on these parables in Matthew 24, 25. Some of them are difficult words, very difficult. But help us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to move forward